Common sense is not so common. And in an era where global uncertainty is rampant and government is out of control, this is the show making sense of all the madness. Broadcasting live from the Arizona desert, you can't dodge the Hodge. Here's your host, Dave Hodges.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Really glad to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us here in the guest segment of our show. And my oh my are the authorities, self-appointed authorities, excuse me for saying that, but they are out to get us. Oh, you would not believe the interference we're getting. And we expect this show to be tampered with too, but we're going to upload it to beat the bad guys to the punch. Just to let you know, that what we're doing is real, bona fide, and legit. I interviewed Bridget Langston, the activist from Kingman. Oh, we're exposing all kinds of chicanery, like a second wave COVID coming because the state secretly paid their county $41 million to head off a second wave of COVID and coming lockdowns that no one knows is coming. Oh, and they just wiped that off my computer. That's okay. Bridget will come back on. And then we'll upload it live as we're going. And I expect this broadcast to be attempted to be tampered with too, but we also are going to upload this immediately. So they can't, once we get it out of the computer and onto the server, we have multiple backups. So this is a show we're going to do with John Wayne that's going to be kind of one of those holy crap moments, because we're going to be talking about a culmination of disclosure and events coming with the grand solar minimum, and we're going to hit that. And plus, there's a few other things going on, too, that we might have time to touch on. Before we get started with John real quickly, though, we're brought to you by Noble Gold, and do what I did. If you have any assets to protect at all, you need to do what I did, which was become a customer of Noble Gold. They converted me from what will be useless assets, like excess cash, which is trash and going to crash, and they'll put you into things that will endure and last. And I'm a walking, talking testament to their effectiveness. Give them a call, 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show sent you. And ladies and gentlemen, the food situation's growing more dire in this country. There are more and more bad things happening with pricing, packaging, you name it. The food supply chain is broken. The just-in-time deliveries are going to be challenged because of the increasing fuel prices that are going to skyrocket this summer thanks to the Biden administration. You better get your storable food now while you can. All kinds of specials out there. Go to preparewithdave.com. 2,000 calories per day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 25-year shelf life. Check out the specials. preparewithdave.com. Well, you better be preparing for a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen. We live in the time of a pivotal shift on this planet. I think we're shifting with regard to climate, with regard to geology, certainly with regard to politics. We are in a major power struggle on this planet right now, and most people are sleeping their way through it. They have terminal cognitive dissonance. They won't know what hit them when they're killed, when they're taken away. This is so disturbing to me that we're not able to reach more people. So I'm going to implore you, please take this interview we're going to do with John and share it far and wide. John, welcome to the show. And every time I turn around, I'm reading new things about disclosure.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me, Dave. You know, it is ever increasing, and I believe well within our lifetimes, we're going to see some amazing things. Real or not real, it's still going to be a shocker, especially to the masses that are completely asleep and numb to everything going on around them. You know, I think of it as this, you know, I've been meeting some new friends and talking to folks, and they've been speaking a lot about, you know, the shock and awe that the bad guys are able to perform effortlessly and people literally buy a hook, line, and sinker, except for folks like us, because we know their playbook and we can read between the lines. But their time is getting short, and there's astronomical things happening, not only within disclosure, but, you know, literally the Earth, the Sun, and other constellations, Osiris, he's got the Death Star in there, right? And it's supposed to explode June 1st of 2022. You know, that's another one. But we're seeing it. It's a major ramp up. And if people can't see it, well, then, like I said on my broadcast, and I'm not trying to be, you know, demeaning, they're either ignorant or willfully blind. They, you know, and or if not either one or the other, they're both at the same time. And what we're doing is we're just trying to get the masses ready for what they're getting ready to roll out. And like you said, disclosure is going to be a very big thing. I mean, look what it's came from in the 1950s all the way up until now. You know, the images, the photographs, the undeniable proof of things happening that are completely out of this world. Do you remember the Dome of the Rock incident over there in Jerusalem?
No, refresh my memory. I may know it, but I don't know it by that term.
No, I don't remember what year it was. But, I mean, it was recent. It was within the past 10 years, I mean, if we want to call that recent. But the orb, or the UFO, or unidentified aerial phenomenon, it literally come down and hovered over the Dome of the Rock for about, I think it was like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then had this huge flash of light and then straight up into the sky.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Really?
And we're getting background noise piped in here. I'm sitting here quiet as a church mouse. Now it seems to have stopped. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we have been so sabotaged. I'm hypersensitive to what's going on here, and I'm just checking. I have nothing open.
Absolutely. You know, I've got some. There's something running in the background here. I mean, I've got a dryer running in the background, so that might.
That's not it. This is like bumping and clanging and like someone picking up dishes.
Huh. Well, we ain't got that going on here, so. You know, yeah, it is interesting, the interference that, you know, and you know, and we know this, that we get the most interference when we are directly over the target.
Yes.
You know, I did a broadcast around 2015 or 16, and this is when that vax documentaries came out, you know, about the vaccine and all the stuff in it. I did a broadcast one evening directly, specifically on nothing but vaccinations. I got knocked off air 15 times in a row, and then the last time they completely hard killed our station. They literally knocked the servers off air.
You know, I had, let me tell the best story I've got on this. I was the first person that was going to interview Ammon Bundy with the standoff that was going on in Oregon. And I had been working with Shauna Cox, you know, family member and friend of the Bundy family. And Shauna and I knew each other pretty well. And we had it all set up. Ammon was going to come on the last 30 minutes. We were going to do our interview prior to him going on CNN. And so I'm announcing the whole time, Ammon Bundy, stay tuned, coming up in the last half hour of the show. And this was a three-hour show, and this is when I did live broadcast. And here we come out of the bottom of the hour break. And I said, now we go to Ammon Bundy. Hello? 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 Next thing I know, the guy who was serving as the board op for me that night, the owner of Global Star Radio Network, Todd, he calls me up. Dave, what is going on? I said, what do you mean? You tell me what's going on. He said, we're completely down. We have redundant systems at Global Star. Mm-hmm. And there's multiple ways to record. You can do the live stream. You can do the radio broadcast. I mean, they have redundancy in their systems. And everything was down. They have a satellite East Coast, West Coast, and in Europe. And all were down at the same time. He said, this has never happened before. They didn't want Ammon coming on. So what we had to do is I worked backwards through Shauna, and the next morning we had him on with Skype and had to do the delay, but we tried to disguise our intentions as much as possible, and that's how we got the interview out. But, yeah, that was probably the most interfered I've ever been, because they didn't want Ammon to come on and tell the real story about what was going on. And then I had Shauna on. She was in the car, you know, when Lavoie Finicum was murdered. Mm-hmm. And they messed with that interview as well, too.
Well, they don't want the truth out. You know, they are trying, you know, like I said to a friend today, I said the devil is working overtime. Satan is working overtime to literally try and invert everything while he can. And information is one, like, you know, I've been saying here lately, you know, the pen's mightier than the sword, but what's more mightier than the pen? Well, it's the voice.
Yeah.
It's the vocalization. It's the rally cries. It's the muster call, you know, hey, heed the warning, folks, we are in perilous times. And that's what we've been trying to do. And they don't want people to understand that. They don't want people to be aware for how we and all of our listeners are aware. Because we're a nut, we're a cut above the grade, if you get what I mean, you know. And we're a threat to them because, well, obviously, what is it? In a time of deceit, to speak the truth is a what?
A revolutionary act.
A revolutionary act. That's correct.
Yeah, that's true. So, people, what you're about ready to listen to, people do not want this out either. There is one side of our government that wants disclosure. And there's another side that says, no, we just want to spring the big deception on them when it's time, not give anyone any lead-up warning. And they're having a fit because of disclosure. Absolute fit. And I happen to know a couple of the guys. In fact, my own former news director, Andy DeRiso, hosts these events. But I know the owners of some of these UFO conferences. And they are constantly messed with. Constantly. I had dinner with them before the pandemic, and they were both telling me this happens. Annie's telling me stories. It's just crazy. But there are people that really don't want out about what we're ready to disclose. But what do you know, and also what do you think is coming? Because as we know, Radcliffe, let me see if I have this here in my file. Okay, and this is... let me pull this up here. And I know Radcliffe came on a radio broadcast, TV broadcast, and he made a huge, huge announcement here. And I don't even seem to have this available at the moment. But he said before he left office as the DNI director, he tried to make multiple disclosures, but the military was blocking him. He said they were having an absolute fit, I almost said a bad word here, but an absolute fit about what was truly going on. And here it is right here. I want to read from this here, and I'll get your reaction to it. In a recent interview with Fox News, former Director of National Intelligence John Radcliffe shared insights on the UFO phenomenon, suggested that a forthcoming government report on the subject could contain significant revelations. His intriguing comments were made during a conversation with Maria Bartiromo and this past Friday, positing that the former Trump administration really wanted to have disclosure. He said the host noted that the government is required to issue a report on UFOs to the public later this year, and she asked Radcliffe if strange objects had been seen, and he became evasive and elusive at that point. And he simply said, well, we have sightings all over the world from multiple entities. We have sensors that pick up things on the ground that we see in person. And many of the people who are making sightings are eminently qualified to make such judgments that they're, quote, not of this world. And he went on to say many Navy and Air Force pilots have had their stories suppressed, but it's been picked up on satellite imagery, and we are going to reveal some of these events later this year. The speculation is that the events will be revealed in 3 months this summer. Radcliffe revealed that there are quite a few incidents on record that will change the paradigm on how the American people see the UFO phenomena. And then, pressed by the host for more information, Radcliffe became increasingly elusive, not wanting to disclose material that he obviously had firsthand knowledge of. So that was on Fox News. I would say that's pretty significant, wouldn't you?
That's very significant. And, you know, like you said, you know, there's a faction that wants to release it for the scare tactic. Well, who's going to be there to try and keep the people calm and, you know, not have the scare tactic full-fledged? Well, it would be the military, right? The military would be extremely concerned if it was going to be released and used to be, you know, used in a nefarious form. You know, is it real that there are entities out there? I believe, you know, I mean, to say that we're the only ones in the cosmos would just be asinine, in my own opinion. You know, because look how big it is. And look how many planets they're finding that could possibly present life. There's a system, I can't think of what is it off the top of my head. I can't even think of it off the top of my head. But, it, you know, they've got a website directly for this system, and they're saying there's like three planets in it that can be habitable. I need to look it up sometime so I can be more precise. But interestingly enough, before the broadcast, through one of the chat logs that I am a part of, I saw this. Somebody put a message in here, and if I could, if you don't mind, can I read it?
Yeah, please.
Because it's very kind of relevant to what we're talking about. So here goes. Good news, bad news is what it says. If you take the Great Pyramid, the GPG, you know, the Great Pyramid of Giza, Mass Dreams of the Future, the Vajra, Quran, and current geopolitics, and my post-life progressions of hundreds of people, one by 2025, China's population will need a whole new planet just to feed their population. Why they are making U.S. war moves now, that's at 5:25 p.m., but I'm just reading this as it came across the wires here. Buying up thousands in farmland. Two, NWO setting up all this chaos for endgame plans on financial and global poly econ reset. Every cycle is ending. Pluto, Mayan, U.S., and the Death Star in Cygnus, June 1st of 2022. Vajra and Mass Dreams show millions disappears. Millions plague China war all, resurrecting October 1st, 2039. Huge asteroid is to hit off Greenland in 2027 or 28. NASA announced this October 28th, 2028, then pulled back 7 years of chaos. Earth rolls like a drunken man, Isaiah. GPG 917-2034, the sign in the sky. Vajra, every UFO from every race appears for one day. The day of appearance, the Andromedan Council and the Galactic Federation appear for 24 hours, clean the atmosphere, and set Earth back in true north with Galactic Center, which is what all these massive earthquakes are doing, Fukushima, etc. All calendars are reset on that day as the day of the Emanuela, or AI, after Emanuela, the female Christ. Begins the next Messianic Age, October 31st, 2039, with the return and resurrection of the souls of the dead. Good news, a major feature of the GPG, the Great Pyramid of Giza, was the River of Fire in the pit. Something should have happened. You know, I mean, it reads off as, you know, lunacy, but the thing is, I believe it's very, very likely. Because they know that the Earth is changing, there are things happening to an extent and a degree that they cannot control. You know, that volcano that just started going off up in Iceland. And the thing that really upsets me about that, and I want to make sure I mention this on air on this broadcast, is because, you know, they're saying, oh, well, this thing went off 800 or 900 years ago. That's a lie, Dave. That's a flat-out lie, and they're publishing this everywhere. The last time this volcano was active was 10,000 years ago during the Pleistocene. So they know things are happening and coming to the extent of what we're going to see and how we will be able to decipher it and or believe it. With the grand deception or the great deception, and we know that's coming. It's spoken about in the scriptures, and it's one thing that hasn't happened full-fledged yet. I mean, people are deceived across and around the world, but the thing is the grand deception, I believe, when they turn on Project Fire Sign, the voice to skull, and the whatever they're going to project in the skies. You know, we know they can do this with holograms. Have you seen the video? From it was like a college auditorium or something, and like a basketball court, and people were sitting on all the sides, and they literally had the whale come up out of the middle of the basketball court and come back down and splash, and it was all holographic, but it looked so real, you know, and people were literally covering themselves as if they were going to get water on them from this holograph. Now imagine. They literally paint the sky with whatever they want to put up there. We know they've been spraying for years. That's one of the parts and the reasons why they're spraying. But the real, true reveal, the revealing, kind of like a, you know, the day the Earth stood still type thing, you know, the 1956 movie, or 50, was it 53? It might have been 56.
No, the day the Earth stood still, I think that was 1950.
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm so on the fence, but I don't know if they will literally walk, you know, Val, Valiant Thor out before us and say, hey, you know, I come in peace. I come from Venus and I've been here since 1952. I don't know. But remember when the Phoenix Lights happened, and you said you saw those.
I saw them, yes.
Remember when the Phoenix Lights happened, and then the press conference they gave, and they walked this person out in the alien outfit? Remember that? Kind of like, oh, look at this. It's a funny gag, you know, just gaining and garnering the public's reaction. But honestly, if there are entities, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of research and reading and stuff and talked to some pretty interesting people and pretty factual people. And, you know, I honestly would not know what to do if I saw an 8-foot tall, what do you call it? why am I drawing blanks? The really creepy looking bugs that move real slow and got the big pinchers on their arms. What? Come on. Why am I drawing a blank? This is stupid.
I'd help you, but I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Why am I drawing a blank on that?
I've had those moments. I call them Joe Biden moments.
Something like that. You know, they're tiny, for the most part, in our everyday world. What? I cannot figure this out. What? You know what I'm talking about, Dave. What kind of... The little bug, they're green, and they've got the... Not katydids, but the... praying mantis. There we go. My God, why could I not remember that? But if I saw an...
Oh, yeah. Kamala Harris. Yeah, the Kamala Harris syndrome, yeah.
Man. You know, and then you have Phil Schneider talking from back in the 1990s about the underground bases and Dulce Archuleta Mesa and what he saw down there, and says, you know, let me tell you, folks, you can kill these things. They are mortal. You know, and he had the scars in the... wounds to prove that his story was valid. You know, they know, and like I said, if these things come and show themselves, I mean, like I said, an 8-foot tall praying mantis or any kind of another creature or being, people would be completely scared shitless. They wouldn't know what to think. I mean, I honestly think a lot of people would probably commit suicide. It would be an Orson Welles, you know, War of the Worlds for real. It's not just a fake broadcast. It's really happening, and people just would not be able to handle it.
The I don't know if you're familiar with the Brookings Report that came out in the late 50s from the Brookings Institute, and it became the charter for the founding and the operational details of NASA. And in there, they said two things that get your attention. Number one, if we go out there and find we've been out there before, we should cover that up, because this would dramatically change our history. Now, I don't agree. Let me step aside just for a moment to tell you why that wouldn't happen. The Hopi say we're in the fifth world. We know there are pre-Adamic civilizations that have existed, and that the mainstay of the Bible, which is 6,000 years old, but creation's much older than 6,000 years, but the mainstay of the Bible, and we start seeing the figures involved, we know that is pre-Adamic. All the cultures of the world know about the flood. It's in their legends, their folklore, and their history. So these are things we know, but before that, there have been civilizations, and at least I'm satisfied there have been, and civilizations that I think went out to the stars. And I'll give you an example. You know, Richard Hoagland is someone I've known. I don't have much contact with him anymore, but Richard gave a presentation 3 months after the Phoenix Lights. I got to sit in the front seat. It helps to know low people in high places. And Richard took the Cydonia region structures, which NASA says are lights and shadows, which is a bunch of bull because they're all at 45 and 90 degree angles, and nature doesn't work that way. And he overlaid Cydonia from Mars over Giza, and it matched perfectly. And it was at the same 19.6 latitude that is a key reference point in planets that I won't get into now, but it has to do with hyperdimensional physics. And 17,500 years ago, both of those places pointed to the constellation Orion at the equinox for both planets. That's not a coincidence. Whoever built one built the other. And Richard made that point decisively. And then the second thing that the Brookings report said was that if we discover there aren't really aliens, if there truly are, we should cover up that too, because society will fall apart, people commit suicide, religions will disintegrate, society will break up, there'll be total chaos on the planet. And that became the document of cover-up for NASA, which became, I like to say NASA stands for Never a Straight Answer. Mm-hmm. So the Brookings report really kind of laid out the phenomena. But then there's the other crowd. There's the MJ-12 crowd, the secret organization that was set up by Truman, and then Eisenhower continued it. And it was designed to be an agreement between so-called aliens and the American government. Although I don't think it's truly aliens. I think they're fallen angels pretending to be truly aliens. But regardless, they want full disclosure because they want full control. And right. They want to scare humanity into uniting under one new world order. And from my perspective, my religion, you get into Revelations, and guess what you get? One world government ruled by whom? Satan. And this sets up the final battle of Armageddon. So sorry for the long-winded explanation, but I wanted to say very clearly, there are competing forces for the disclosure of aliens or fake aliens, regardless of your perspective. And that's where I think we're at.
Yeah, beware the military-industrial complex. Eisenhower, his resignation speech. And, you know, Eisenhower was literally... No, was that Truman or was it Eisenhower?
Eisenhower in his farewell address said, beware right. of the military-industrial complex. Their presence is unwarranted, which means unconstitutional. And unprecedented means it never happened before. In other words, we didn't retreat to a peacetime army after World War II. We stayed on full alert and did so even after the Korean War. And he said, this is very dangerous because then war becomes the biggest business of your country, and your country will seek out wars and any excuse to have a war.
And, well, by goodness, we're right there in the middle of that right now. You know,
How long in Afghanistan? Yeah.
20-some years.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfathomable to even begin to imagine that it could happen and be allowed and allotted to happen. But remember, Eisenhower lost control of the military. Or not full control of the military, but he lost control of the black projects, the secret divisions, you know. He was going to send the military to literally go and take Area 51 back. Because they said, oh, no, Mr. President, you and your men and anybody else is not allowed here to see what we're doing. You know, and that gets to the re-engineered craft and everything. But, I mean, if it was it even re-engineered, I doubt it. Like you said, fallen angels, hey, man, they'd love to give man all kinds of technology to kill and destroy themselves. And that's what mankind does with any form of technology it gets its hands on and figures it out. That's the first thing mankind figures out how to do, is weaponize something. And for the life of me, I don't get it. You know, I mean, if we turn around and made the... See, and this kind of gets back to where, you know, the two factions. Yeah, I would assume there's the white hats or the good guys out there. That,
well, I wouldn't call either one good guy. I would call one less evil than the other.
Okay, very, very, very well put. Thank you. You're right with that.
I don't trust anyone who engages in deception from the public. There's always an agenda, and the agenda does not favor the people in either case.
Right. You know, but the thing is, though, the one sect would, I could imagine the technology that they're sitting on, you know, free energy, medical beds, and stuff to this extent. That, yeah, you know, we could have an absolutely grand golden age renaissance, but the real true evil, you know, scum of the earth, and we don't need to name names, we all know who they are, they want full-on, full-fledged domination and control. And with that Brookings Institute, which you just mentioned there, yeah, man. I mean, if they were able to project something or get the population in so much fear of something... I mean, look how people are completely possessed by fear now, and the face mask and everything else, and go get the shot. No, man, that's child's play. When they roll this plan out, Fire Sign or Project Bluebeam, we ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, pandemonium, it would be beyond anything.
Well, Bluebeam's been around for a while, and when my dad was recounting his experiences working with captured German scientists after World War II, he told me about Blue Beam. He told me in 1985, and he said, this is going to happen at some point in time. He asked the Germans, how did you get so far ahead of us in physics? And they said, aliens. And my dad said, did you ever meet them? And they said, no, but our commanding officer did. And I said, are you sure? And they go, oh, yeah, we're sure he did. Yeah, absolutely. And to a person, they said this. And this was a uniform answer that he thought was genuine. But he came to believe, because my dad was a deeply spiritual guy, he thought this was the great deception. He thought that because the Germans were heavily into the occult, and he knew this, they were into Ouija boards. In fact, actually, Hitler attacked Russia, the fatal mistake of World War II, because of the advice he got from an astrologer. And so my dad said, I think we're looking at evil entities pretending to be aliens. I first heard that in 1985 from my father. He said, I don't know if I think it's the alien question. It might be. He said, I could come down on either side. He said, but my gut tells me these are fake aliens, fallen angels. They deceived the Germans, led them to destruction when they were done with them. And they got to introduce nuclear weapons to the world because of their existence, which is the first part of destroying God's creation, the planet. And he says, I predict someday they're going to come back for more and try to unify the planet under one government. That's it was his position in 1985, in the year he died. And I got to tell you, I look back on this 36 years later, I think he's more right today than he was in 1985.
Oh, absolutely. Beyond any reason of any doubt. You know, I wish I could have met your dad. That would have been amazing. You know, it's really something to see. Yeah, the splitting of the atom. Okay, well, are we seeing the splitting of the atom? The splitting of mankind
right
now?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's right.
You know, and look at what, you know, down there in Antarctica, when Buzz Aldrin, Henry Kissinger, Barack Obama, and whoever else in their entourage went down there to Antarctica. And could you imagine getting Kissinger to Antarctica? The old bastard can barely walk, let alone talk or get around anyways, and they're going to, you know, they take him down to Antarctica. For what? For one reason. But what I'm getting at is when Buzz Aldrin came back, remember he came back early and he said, hey, what's down there is beyond utter evil. It's seething with evil. You know? Absolutely.
It is. It absolutely, absolutely is. Well, we're going to have to do something here too, because we're having a technical interference. And I'm going to have to disconnect and reconnect with you for that reason.
Okay, so sounds good. I'll
and,
be right.
Hang on 1 second here. I need to make a timestamp on this. And this is part of the interference, folks, we're getting. This is real-time interference. I'm watching with my own eyes. So, John, hang on, and I'll be back with you. Here, I want to timestamp this out at the right time here. We'll go at 3240, and I'll be right back. Okay, we're back with John here in our little splice. I bet you didn't even notice it. We're good. I was able to preserve that recording because after what's happened to us, you never know. And so we are definitely back, and sorry about the interruption, folks, but had I not made the move when it happened, they were trying to take that recording down. And how do I know? Because it's happened to me 3 times. So we're back with John. Well, John, you know, to kind of like bring all this together, I'm actually interviewing Vance Davis, formerly the NSA, and Vance and I have been very good friends for 28 years. And this Vance's contention is that the deception is already happening and disclosure is underway, and Tucker Carlson's been used as the primary person of disclosure, and he's got really good evidence for why he believes this. And he thinks that what's happening is we're being prepared. The people of the Earth are going to be used as cannon fodder in a galactic conflict. And I only can think that the conflict is the final battle of Armageddon, but it will be more space-based as well as location on Earth at Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Mahabharata.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Fighting in the skies from the Vedic texts. You know, it's real, and I mean, we've had our own experiences, and there are craft up there. To whose and what, and to that extent, I have no clue. They've never landed it and let me aboard, but I mean, they have made themselves proven to me. You know, the most amazing one was heading east of town here, out in the middle of the country on a gravel road with a friend, and it's beyond it's beyond coincidence. This is literally synchronicity. Heading east one night, the craft, whatever it was, just looked like a glowing ball of white as it streaked across the sky and had all these brilliant colors coming off of it. About 2 weeks later, heading west, the opposite direction, the exact same thing over the top of the truck, same colors and everything. That's not a fallen star. The chances of a shooting star coming from one direction 1 week and then another direction the other week, going opposite directions, exact same trajectory, is beyond coincidence. It's only singularity. So, you know, but there still is like a very mass contingent of people out there that, oh, UFOs, ha ha ha, aliens, the little green men, ha ha ha. No, man. Those are the people that are going to literally freak out when they pull the veil completely off. And they're in the process of it now. You know, what's holding them up? Well, I don't know. You know, they've got a lot of plans they've got going on, and that only leads me to believe that there's, you know, not only two factions, but, you know, how many other factions that want one thing and the other wants the other, and it's literally coming to a head, you know, they're headbutting each other.
Yeah, there's actually a theory out there. It's interesting you'd put it that way. It's very perceptive on your part. Sergeant Robert O'Dean, the late Robert O'Dean, he was the senior non-com of NATO. And people may not realize what that means. That means he had the power of a general. And he said there were over two dozen alien presences. But here was his really tight perception. He said he thinks they're all from the same source, that they're pretending to compete with each other. Some appear to be benevolent to our species. Some appear to be harmful to our species. But it's a design to get us to align with one or more of the groups so we can be sucked into their influence. And when you take this to a broader spiritual contextual aspect, and I've talked to L.A. Marzulli about this, who's an expert in this field, we both feel that this competition is designed just to get us into one group, but really it's the entire evil group run by Satan. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, logic kind of escapes people when I try to explain this. But when I talked to Bob Dean, we actually got together in Mesa, Arizona. We held a high-level briefing. We had ex-Air Force intel. We had Vance, who was ex-NSA. We had an FBI guy who was put on FBI UFO files to suppress them. And we had Bob Dean and some others. And we met in a hair salon in the back room on a Sunday afternoon, so we tried to disguise what we were doing. And it was the most remarkable meeting I ever had in my life. It was absolutely incredible. And I'll tell you who else believes this.
Sit in on them things.
In 1997, the late Bill Pollack, now his common-law wife Annie was my news director for 6.5 years, and Bill and Vance and I had actually formed a business entity. So we were all very, very close, good friends. Bill held a high-level secret, and he had to sign a non-disclosure agreement conference to attend. Oh, we had some powerful people there, including astronaut Edgar Mitchell, who walked on the moon. And he pretty much repeated what Bob Dean said.
Well, not only that, not only Edgar Mitchell, I heard a broadcast, and I was like, it was an interview he was doing, a sit-down interview, and he literally, you know, I don't think it was Alzheimer's, dementia, or any slip of the mind of age. He literally come out and said, oh yeah, Buzz Aldrin, he'd love to go back to Mars, you know, so nonchalantly. And, that, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on that everybody's been left in the dark on for a long time, and they're going to use it to their advantage, you know, order out of chaos.
Yeah.
My God, if they get the whole world crazy at all at one go at it, you know, the chaos that would ensue, the people, I mean, the culling, I guess, if you want to call it that, you know, it almost makes me think of, it almost makes me think of that Twilight Zone episode, To Serve Man.
Just did a podcast on that.
Tell
the audience about what that was about. It's fascinating.
Well, the guy, you know, the aliens come down and, you know, they're making themselves often be known as if they're completely peaceful. There's nothing wrong. And they're going to pick a few people to take off planet. And these people that are leaving the planet think, well, I'm going to be taken to wherever they are at, and I'm going to be looked of as if I'm upon a god, or as if I'm a god myself, the human being. So he's on the ship, and they're leaving Earth, and he comes to the realization to serve man, well, it's a cookbook.
Yes.
They're going to serve him as a meal.
Yes.
You know, Rod Sterling, man, I'll tell you, for the 1950s, he was way ahead. Way, way ahead.
Or someone was giving him his scripts.
Absolutely. Yep, and I was going to say that, but you beat me to the punch. Absolutely. I believe that, too. You know,
yeah.
Because...
Well, I know a little bit about Stargate SG-1, you know, the TV show that ran 10 years. And I interviewed the late Greg Evenson, you know, a few times, and Greg is now passed. But he has a brother that works in these related areas. And Greg told me, he said, my brother says, what you see on Stargate SG-1 or in these other shows, there's nothing there that we have not already done.
Project Looking Glass, you know, bending time and space to look into the future is kind of, you know, is the first step of that. But to make the actual machine to transport in through time and space and, molecular physics and quantum mechanics and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, man, they've got that all figured out, I would assume, you know, especially with as far advanced as they are with their technology, you know, probably 150, 250 years ahead of what they give out to the populace, you know. And I've heard this, you know, I've sat down, I've listened to some really interesting interviews. I'm not going to name from where or who because it will detract from us. And, you know, they're talking of men who have been in the secret space program and that they are literally hypershift through space, time, and dimensions to other realms. And, you know, some of the guys that go to these things, they have to have a sit-down briefing, and some, you know, they've sent people there before. Some haven't come back. Some have come back. And they say it's a complete different aspect of if you get out and you're standing on the ground, it might not even be solid ground you're standing on, and then it just falls away and you just disappear. Completely exotic plants, stuff that, you know, they're trying to, I guess, research because they're able to go there. But, you know, and it makes me think, I saw a video, get this. The other day, I had a friend send me a video, and it was recorded somewhere out in the South America. Well, it might have been Mexico. I think it was in Mexico. And it was a man, and he was speaking Spanish. He was out in the middle of the desert, and he was literally, you could hear him saying, you know, portal, or you could, you know, get the summation from his language or his speech. He was talking about portals. And lo and behold, this thing literally opens up way off out in the desert, and it's pitch black. And he catches it on camera, and he's freaking out by this time, and he catches it on camera. This green portal opens up just like it would be about the size of a door for a man, and something literally walks out of it upside down into our realm. I'm going to have to get that video to you, and I'm going to have to get the
Yeah, I definitely am interested in seeing that. The one thing, I'll go back to the spiritual part of this, though. We're allowed to have these glimpses because I think they're satanically inspired to deceive us and draw us in. And I think a lot of this is about drawing the people in. In fact, there's some information I've received, and you may find this to be interesting. Once the smoke clears with the depopulation on the planet and so forth, the people that are allowed to stay will be living 300 to 500 years because of a chip interface with the chemical nutrients injected into your body from the mRNA. Get the what I'm saying? From the vaccine?
Yep.
And it's going to interact with future technology to promote longevity. And those that don't make that bridge to the new technology will die eventually from causes that could be cleared up. And I have from a FEMA insider who has shown me the documents.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned that. And, you know, yeah, I mean, people used to live to be 850, 900, 1,002 years old. You know, Methuselah, Enoch, and some of the other from the First Testament. And, But, you know, it's interesting you say that, because the first thing that came to my mind is men will yearn for death, but death will flee from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would say there's a little bit more to this, too, that I think that we're looking at the introduction of a future chip coming into the person to interact with what's being injected into people now to promote longevity, or you'll have death. It's the beast. It's the mark of the beast.
That's right. Absolutely.
These vaccines, in my opinion, are the first half of the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm. They are. Well, look at the Luciferase. And have you seen the images for what the Luciferase, after the person is injected with it, shows up as? The colors, it's like a really purplish-violet color under the ultraviolet light spectrum to see if you've got the mark. You know, I mean, they're marking people. I mean, Dave, you're right. It's the mark of the beast. And I was warning about this stuff a long time ago, as were you, and to see it in full-fledged action before our very eyes, I'm not going to lie, it's frightening.
Because we're living in the times that we thought we'd never see. This will be for a future generation to deal with the tribulation, and no, this is our time. This is our time.
This generation will not come to pass. Yep, this generation will not come to pass. And the mark, look at Neuralink, at Elon Musk's Neuralink.
Yeah, I hear
chip,
you.
And guess who took over all of that? Well, that was DARPA.
No, I could not agree with you more. Absolutely phenomenal in its its implications for humanity. But I've talked to a former FEMA insider, and you know her as Celeste. And
I've interviewed her a couple times.
I've seen the documents, and this is the first building block for the beast. And you know, here's what's interesting too. This has been total obfuscation. When you look at the vaccine, John, let me back up and say this. Who is Dave Hodges to be qualified enough to make this judgment? Because I taught research at a university, and for 4.5 years of my research experience there, teaching research, I taught it to people getting ready to do their dissertations. So I know a fair amount about the process. And we used to use medical modeling to teach the essential elements of research, because they all have control group, experimental group, randomization, all those things you need. And what you always see in research for medication are animal trials. Always animal trials. They precede the human volunteer trials, which sometimes can be people on death row, people in desperate circumstances, they have nothing to lose. So they're used in the human trials, but the animal trials have to come first. So what we have seen here are no animal trials at all with the vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the animal. But it's even worse than that. This is the way they obfuscate the side effects that are killing people in high numbers. But the reality is, they don't want animal trials, because the study on the animals would have revealed the fact that this is potentially deadly.
Absolutely.
If you don't get the corresponding chip that combines with it to give you more longevity, you will die of things like asthma, diabetes, heart attacks. We're already seeing the interaction effects just with the virus. And I'm telling you, I'm convinced that the reason they didn't do animal trials is they didn't want eyes on this to have discoveries made by the medical community and have the medical community rise up in even bigger numbers than we see today.
Absolutely. I believe that whole, completely everything you just uttered is the absolute God's honest truth. And yeah. I talked to Celeste and I said, I ran this across her when I did a broadcast. We did a couple of them. I need to get her back on sometime. I said, this thing they're sticking up people's noses, the PCR, whatever, the test.
Uh-huh.
I said, Celeste, from what I'm seeing and from what I read in biblical scripture, it says not to take a mark in the forehead or on the hand. Well, this thing being shoved up a person's nose, they're literally microchipping people, is what I've been saying, and you would You would not believe how many people have laughed in my face, Dave, when I said they're literally microchipping people with this.
Yes, they
are. I brought it up to Celeste, and I said, so, Celeste, is it a possibility that what they're doing with this is they're not only, you know, they're microchipping people with the test, but the test is going to work as kind of like an attenuative magnet, and the stuff that they inject into the body will eventually, you know, find its way to that attenuated magnet or that microchip that's in the cranial barrier, and it would literally take over the body. And she agreed completely with my estimation of what I brought up. I mean, it's frightening, man. It's really frightening.
Yeah, she pretty much said the same thing to me, too. There are so many associations, but a lot of this comes back to the early alien implants. When people were abducted, they did their experimentation on the implants way back when, so they could see if they could control you remotely and track you. Because people that are abducted are done so repeatedly, and you have to have a way of tracking the herd. And they keep coming back to the same people. And we don't see as much of that today as we did, say, back in the 80s and 90s, but we still are seeing a little of it, but they're still working on the technology that's going into us. There's absolutely no question. Well, John, this is what we want to do here. People, I know some of you are going to laugh at us, and that's okay. People laughed at me when I said there were Chinese troops on the border. And I think enough said on that point. So we're going to do more shows on this. But, John, tell people how they can listen to your show, and we've got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1 at revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, Studio A.
Studio A. Great radio network, a lot of good hosts there, and your show is terrific. I've been on it a few times, and on that, we got a bit ado. John, I'll be in touch. Watch your computer.
Godspeed.